Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then, add the final touch with 2 for $8 on select 2.5 or 3-quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.
Welcome to another episode of The Litter Box, a Detroit Tigers podcast with your hosts, Bill Patterson and Chet West.
We got a lot to talk about here. We did no midweeker this past week, so we let two series slide by since we last spoke. We got this Astros series in Houston. We've got the Angels series out on the left coast. I'm going to get to doing the Angels series here in a bit. You're going to do the Astros series first, and you got some news and notes to cover because we've had a few things happening on the injury front, on the designated for assignment front, all sorts of crazy stuff going on. But I did want to say we got the merch out there now, and I'm wearing my Litter Box shirt that Bill has procured here so kindly. He went out and grabbed a bunch of these, sent them out to a few loyal listeners and whatnot. I got to say, we had a big discussion, large or extra large, for everybody in the group. We all kind of had a little fun poking each other, those of us, a couple buddies, as to what our fit is in this day and age. I went with the XL, Bill. I had to go with the XL. My man boobs didn't fit into the large quite right, and they were expressing my areolas a little too clearly to the fabric, and I wanted people to use their imagination a little bit. I wanted my Ronies to not show in high definition, so I went with the XL. I think it fits perfectly, actually.
You look good.
You did a great job.
Thank you. I rock the large, and there is...
My no brother rocks the large. He loves his. He loves his, by the way. He said thanks, and he's, he's Euro. He likes it a little tight anyway, so I think he's probably okay with that. Me, I look like a stuffed sausage in one of those things.
Yeah, anyhow. Mine was not snug, but hey, to each their own.
I'm glad
we got
those.
Is there a way that we're
going
to try to make these available to our listeners?
I think we should. I don't know if I've wrapped my head around whether we're going to have a storefront or anything like that, but maybe we could toss a few out there to people who make comments or something in the podcast. So if you feel like making a comment, drop one in there. Maybe we send a shirt. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
We love comments, and
maybe
we love our
maybe
listeners.
Maybe we don't. We'll see what happens. At any rate, we got two series to cover. Bill, let's get into it. Let's talk about this Astros series. What did you see?
Well, the Tigers were red hot coming into this. They were 18-10. They lost game one in Houston to the Astros 8-5, which put the Astros at 15-13. I'll break the game down like this. Jose Altuve hit a two-run home run in the sixth inning, and that propelled the Astros to the 8-5 win. Before that, Christian Walker also had a two-run shot. What's frustrating about this game, but encouraging for the Tigers overall, is that the Tigers have been in every game this season. And I don't mean to pound in the background, but it was just one of those games that the Tigers were up 3-0 and until in the bottom of the fourth, Christian Walker hits the two-run shot. And then, you know, I already alluded to what Altuve did. He's a great player, Altuve. I mean, he's someone that we would love to have on our squad, even though he's been around. He's one of those guys that seems like he's been playing for 20 years, even though he hasn't. But the point is, Jack Flaherty has pitched well this year, but when he makes mistakes, it really haunts him.
I feel like he's a little hard luck. Like, I don't think he's... I agree with you on that, though. Like, he makes the mistake and it haunts him to the point where he's like 1-3 right now or something, or 1-4, right?
At the time of this, he's 1-3. So let's do this chronologically.
Yeah.
But I agree, hard luck, because it's been just one or two pitches. So let me just go to the offense, and then I'm going to tell you the story of the game.
Go for it.
So Houston's victory did snap a four-game winning streak for the Tigers. You and I are very realistic about this. They're not going to win them all. And Houston's a really tough opponent. Detroit, God bless the Tigers, took care of business last year in the playoffs against Houston. What's interesting about this series is a couple points, is that Riley Green really got back on track. Monday night, he hit two home runs. And then Carey Carpenter also hit a home run. The weird part about the game was the Tigers only got two other hits from the rest of the lineup. So it just wasn't great. Defense was sloppy. Trey Sweeney had throwing errors on two consecutive plays with nobody out that put runners at second and third. So it was just one of those games. It just wasn't the Tigers' night. And I watched it. I enjoyed myself. That being said, it was just frustrating just because they've played so well. Winners of four straight. You knew it was going to happen. And, you know, Flaherty, he yielded six hits and four runs. I think the key thing, though, came in this game where he threw a pitch that he didn't want to throw. And it remains to be seen whether it was Dingler calling for the changeup or if Flaherty just decided to throw it on his own. But basically, Flaherty had, I hate saying this, but for those of us that have kids, he had like a temper tantrum on the mound. And one thing I've really noticed about this pitching staff this year is they don't react. And when we talk about today's game, we have a fantastic example for Reese Olson loading the bases in the bottom of the first and getting out of it and never losing his cool or composure. Flaherty, either it's not his makeup this season or it wasn't his makeup that night, but that was his makeup. I, in real time, texted you and said, I think we just lost the game. Flaherty's like literally losing his cool. And Dingler went to the mound, apologized. It seemed like everything was okay. And then, you know, the end just happened shortly thereafter. So anything you'd like to add?
I don't know if it's Flaherty's mental state. I don't know what it is, but he's definitely been the hard luck guy in our rotation this year so far.
Absolutely.
And I can't figure out if he's just not quite there and not pitching well enough to win these games, but he doesn't, like, four runs. I kind of have a marker there. If we can keep the other team to four runs or less, we got a chance to win a game. Okay. Oh. If they score more than four runs, then it's not our offense's problem at that point. It's usually our pitching's problem if they're letting more than four runs cross the plate. That's a real general, you know, they're obviously outlier situations, whatever. But I think he's had a little bit of hard luck this year. Houston, for me, every time I watch games or series here, it's like the Bermuda Triangle. You never know what's going to happen. And we came into the game, we're up. I think it was 2-0, 3-0, something like that into the fourth. And then they scored a run or two, and then they got a couple more. And the next thing you know, they're chipping and chipping, and you're like, God, Houston's going to win this game. And then the wheels fell off. We had bullpens giving up runs, which we don't see. Again, Bermuda Triangle all season long. Tigers bullpen has been solid as a rock. And the next thing you know, we had a couple rough games in the series. So, yeah, I, you know, go on with the rest of your breakdown. But I got a thing about Flaherty, and I was sitting there thinking about him today. I'm like, man, the only game we lost in the Angels series was Flaherty's game, right? So it's like, maybe this was just another Flaherty game. I don't know if he's the hard luck guy or what he is this year. But yeah, it was a little bit odd watching that game because we kind of fell apart in the latter half of it. And that's usually when we've been pretty solid.
Well, you teed me up very nicely for game two against the Astros, which is, again, Bermuda Triangle. I will say this. I know we have three more games against the Houston Astros this season at Comerica Park.
Yep.
I want nothing to do with this team in the postseason.
They're pesky. They're so pesky.
And like you said, the Tigers got a veteran presence in the fourth inning.
Yeah.
And it seemed good. Flaherty was rolling at that point. And then the next thing you know, he and Dylan Dingler aren't on the same page. And the Astros chip away, and then take a lead. Trey Sweeney, the errors were fairly inexcusable, especially on back-to-back plays. That being said, we need to remind ourselves how young this team is.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, outside of Flaherty, and now that, well, I don't want to ruin the tease, but some veteran players have now been sent down and are no longer with the Tigers. So we'll talk about that in news and notes. But it really is a young team when you look around. That being said, more malaise, let's say. 6-4 loss on Tuesday. This time it was Yanier Diaz had a run-scoring single in consecutive innings. Another rookie for the Astros, Ryan Gusto, matched a season high with 6 strikeouts. And Chet's laughing right now at my Ryan Gusto. I don't know how we can't say his name with...
With gusto.
And that being said, the Astros beat the Tigers 6-4. The game came basically down again in the middle innings. And the Astros scored 3 runs in the 6th. And then they scored 3 runs in the 7th, all with 2 outs, which is just so painful to watch. I don't really have a whole lot more to add on that other than our guy, Gleyber Torres. I hit a two-run homer in the ninth to get Detroit within two runs. So again, it gave the illusion that the Tigers were really in this one. But I would say since the Dodgers series, this was the butt-kicking game that we just... I mean, it really was a 6-2. Yeah. I know that's not what the final score says. An interesting thing on this... Altuve, who we just complimented, or I complimented, hit second in the Astros lineup for the second straight game and promptly went 0-for-4 this night. So the guy that you might expect to beat you wasn't the guy that beat you that night. Overall, it wasn't a bad pitching output. It was just the bats were a little bit sluggish. Again, you're not going to win them all.
No.
And this is a huge, I'm calling it a West Coast swing, even though our West Coast swing truly is kind of done already. I mean, we opened the season in LA, then went to Seattle. The only other time the Tigers play in the Pacific time zone this year is a three-game set against the Athletics, whatever they're being called, in Sacramento, much later in the year. But this 10-game series, or 10-game set, whatever you want to say, is really the as far west as they go again until that Sacramento series. So it was interesting, you know, opening in Houston, and then, you know, you're going to talk about Anaheim, and then we'll, you know, preview a little bit the Rockies series. When you're ready, can I get a little drum roll or intro on what happened in the final game, game three, Wednesday afternoon?
But I will touch on one more thing.
Please.
Reese was rolling in that game, too. This was this was the one game I actually watched. I watched the beginning of game one. And then as they started to unfold, I think I went to bed or something. I don't even know. Game two, Reese was rolling. We were up 2-0 going into sixth. And I'm going, okay, back on track. And then Reese gave up three. And then Will Vest comes on and gives up three runs in the seventh.
I know.
And I was like, what is going on? Bermuda Triangle. I'm telling you, it's crazy stuff.
No, it's the Gulf of America, Gulf of Mexico
the mystery that is Minute Maid Park or whatever the heck they're calling it these days. And then, and to add to the strangeness of the whole thing, Kenta Maeda comes in, closes out the ninth with 1K and nobody gets it. Was like he gave up nothing, no walks, no hits. I was like, Kenta, there he is, pitching in garbage time again, which is a preamble of what we'll talk about in the news and notes. But I just sat there. I was like, what a crazy game that is. Everything that normally happens doesn't. And here we are. Houston is the Bermuda Triangle. Go on to game three. That's all I got.
Well, the bizarreness continues. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention it's a Superman reference. Superman has a villain called Bizarro. It's like his exact opposite, but same powers, blah, blah, blah. And one of the greatest Seinfeld episodes, I know you're a fan. I'm a huge fan. I hope our listeners are fans, is a Bizarro world where Elaine dates somebody that is like Jerry's counterpart. And essentially...
You are digging up the goods here.
Well, hold on. I mean, it's appropriate because if I asked you going into the third game in this Bizarro series or Bermuda Triangle series, and if I had said, you have to give me $100 on who you think is going to be the hero for the game, and I gave you odds, you wouldn't have taken, and we're not calling him Javi Baez anymore. He is now Javier. Hold on. Baez.
Javier Baez?
Because he's a new guy.
He's a new guy. We got to pronounce his name entirely different now.
Exactly.
He is a new guy, and he's got a
center
new position.
Center fielder is Javier Baez.
Javier.
Yeah. Javi Baez is some guy that played for the Cubs years ago. So anyway, Javier Baez hit his ninth career grand slam, and I'm going to be very, very blunt on this, and I'm quoting Benetti and Dierks. It would not have been a home run in most major league ballparks,
but he
hit it to what's considered the Crawford boxes, which is a short porch in left field, and it doesn't matter because the scoreboard reads, Javi hit a grand slam.
It's a part of the Bermuda Triangle, the Crawford boxes, the weird stuff.
It's why they call it the juice box, even though it's not named after Minute Maid anymore.
I mean, Javier. I'm not doing the Baez thing, though. I like the Javier. I think I want to keep it Baez. Javier Baez and his grand slam is just one more notch. I'll get to the Angels here in a minute, but man, has the guy been, he's like rejuvenated. He's found the fountain of youth somewhere. I have no idea.
He found it in the Bermuda Triangle.
He did.
Ponce de Leon found it somewhere off the coast of Florida.
That is entirely
what they say.
Entirely possible.
we're not a history pod. We are a
we're a
baseball pod, barely. But anyhow,
exactly.
Let's talk about pitching a little bit. Jackson Jobe, solid outing. That being said, it's his worst outing of the year, but still, when you can get this line and get a 7-4 victory from your starting pitcher, it just shows the depth, strength, and ability this team has. So I'm just going to go through the pitching real quick. Jobe, 4 innings pitched, 4 hits, 3 earned runs, 4 walks, 4 Ks. So he really struggled with command the entire night. It basically looked like he had no command on his fastball, his 4-seamer. He tried throwing a 2-seamer, and that didn't work either. That being said, he still hung in there for 77 pitches through 44 strikes, leading the way to our guy, Brennan Hanafee, to come in for 2 innings. He was hit twice, walked 1, but struck out 3, moving over to, again, my guy, Mr. Tyler Holton. Pitched 1.2 innings. Again, they got hit, which is Houston's tough. 3 hits, gave up an earned run, walked 1, struck out 1. And then our guy, who I do think, I love this dual closer between Will Vest and Tommy Cannelly. And he pitched over an inning. Fortunately, he did not give up any hits, no earned runs. He did walk 1, struck out 2, and the Tigers got out of there with a victory, which was much needed to stop the 2-game slide and move on to Thursday's night game against the Anaheim Angels of Los Angeles.
Is that it for the Astros?
Outside of the fact that I don't really want to see him again.
I don't want to see him for a while. I don't need any Astros for a while. The Bermuda Triangle tends to follow them, too. So I don't. They're a bizarre team. They always have been. They're always a team I don't want to play. Like you were saying, they're always just pesky. They've always got good strategy. We go back to the trash can banging stuff, all that weird garbage. Either way, I don't want to play the Astros. So
can I add one last thing?
Yeah.
When you talk about they're well-managed, I do think this is something that goes a little bit underrated in baseball. I think we're very keen to talk about bad management, and I know we're going to talk about this in the Angels series because Ron Washington might manage a bullpen is improperly
horrifying. But I mean, yes,
literally, he shouldn't be managing a major league team, let alone a little league team. That being said, you can see the A.J. Hinch blueprints or fingerprints, if you would, in the Astros still, and what carried over and why it was such a great hire by the Tigers. I know the front office has changed, but anyhow, just much respect for the Astros. Again, I'm sure we'll have to play them at some point if both make the postseason. That being said, we'll look forward to that opposed to, you know, avoiding it, if you would. Let's talk about the Angels.
Let's flip the script to the left coast here. So the beginning of game one was Thursday night, and I stayed up and watched this thing. All these games were a little later than the norm. And it was, the Angels came out, jumped on us a little early. I think we got a couple runs early. It was like 3-2, 4-2. And then forever, from about the fourth inning on, nothing happened. Mm-hmm. Mize kind of went into lockdown mode. He pitched a nice game. He went 7 innings. 7 innings, he gave up 4 runs, 2 walks, 4 Ks. Excellent effort from Mize, in my opinion. That's perfectly fine.
95 pitches thrown.
Yeah, he was efficient. He was workmanlike. They got a couple on him, and I'm going, oh, gosh, the hangover from Houston. And the Angels had been toiling up until this point. They couldn't figure out how to win a game. They had all sorts of crazy stuff going. Trout's back on the IL.
Can I talk about that real quick? You get 4 games against the Angels.
Yeah.
In Anaheim.
Yeah.
And you've got a future Hall of Famer, generational player on the IL for all 4 games. And I feel robbed as a fan that we didn't get to see Mike Trout.
Well, I thought about that. I was like, you know, this would be a lot more fun if Mike Trout was out there.
Of course it would.
And then I started thinking, you know what, though, in this day and age, Trout is on the IL. It's like as often as I eat pizza. The guy's on the IL at least once every 2 weeks. It's crazy.
You eat pizza way more often than
I
that.
I eat pizza a lot more than that, probably. You're probably right on that. You just called me on that one. But either way, also why I got to wear an XL, probably, too. I don't know. You know,
speaking of pepperonis.
Speaking of pepperonis. I think we're just, you know, Trout is kind of just trying to keep himself in the game right now, in my opinion. And they've got him basically DHing these days. I'm mad I didn't get to see him. There are a couple of other Angels players that stuck out to me, though, who are pretty good ball players in their own right. And I'll get to them in a minute. This game up through the eighth inning, and I felt kind of bad. I started feeling kind of bad for Mize. I'm like, where are our bats right now? Like, what is going on? Yusei Kikuchi, we couldn't solve him. We got two runs off of him. He had five Ks. Brock Burke came in. Didn't look like we were going to hit him. And then Detmers comes in, and Detmers just implodes. And the whole time, you know, it's the eighth inning. They're up 4-2. And you're watching Ron Washington in the dugout, and he's got Detmers in there who's struggling and putting guys on base. And he has, it was Jose Fermin and Kenley Jansen warming up in the pen. And you're going, like, Kenley Jansen would be kind of a guy you'd bring in right here to keep this thing in check, maybe make him go extra for the save. Yeah.
Because I know he hadn't pitched in over a week either.
It had been a while. Yes.
It made no sense.
And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, I'm like, Wash, what are you doing? Detmers is toiling. And then Detmers just, the floodgates just open. You're getting all of a sudden a couple of small hits. You got guys scoring. McKinstry's chipping in. Dingler hits a home run. And the whole thing is completely broke open. It's a 7-4 game. He's blown it, basically.
Can I read his stat line real quick?
Yeah. Dingler, your guy?
No. Detmers. Okay. He pitched one-third of an inning.
Yeah.
Three hits, four earned runs, one walk. He threw 29 pitches, 16 of which were strikes, but they were all meatballs.
Yeah.
And the crazy part about it is he's a left-hander, and that was the right-handed part of our lineup. It was a nothing but righties. It was like, I don't know what Washington was
thinking. That's true. He was getting around to the back end of our lineup, wasn't he? I totally forgot about that.
Yeah.
He had the back end of our lineup, starting with Ibanez going on down. And Dingler had a great game. He went 3-for-5, 3 RBIs in the home run, the big home run, three run homer. I love Dingler. I think he's a great catcher. He's been good for us so far. Perfectly, perfectly happy with him as our starting catcher. And you know, we end up winning this game. We get tack three more runs on in the ninth. We end up winning a game that we looked like we had no business winning, and we weren't going to solve anything at the plate. 10-4. And I sat there, I'm like, and the whole storyline during the game, listening to Benetti and Dierks, which we got Benetti and Dierks for the whole series, which has been glorious. Listening to Benetti and Dierks was like, the Angels can't figure out how to win games. I was like, and you're looking at Washington in the dugout, just kind of staring at people out on the field, like, what just happened? What just happened? It's like, Wash, you let your guy go way too long. You needed to yank him and put somebody else in.
Well, he shouldn't have been in that situation if you're going to go.
Shouldn't have been.
Leverage, you need to play the odds on that. Should, that was not the odds to play.
Didn't play the odds. Didn't. And there was questions like Benetti and Dierks were kind of sitting there in the broadcast. They were like, is he going to go get him? Or, okay, maybe he's not. Game two, very similar outcome. You know, the Angels took an early lead. Scooble did Scooble things. He went six, gave up four hits, one run, eight Ks. Scoobs looks awesome. I have no issues with Scooble. I will say we scored it. We played it a run in the seventh, which was great.
Can we talk about who did it?
Tied it up. Go ahead. Who did it?
Trey Sweeney.
So Trey Sweeney got healthy in this series.
He did.
He had a great series.
After the two-error game to lead off the Astros series, it's like he got all the baggage off of his shoulders.
Totally.
And he relaxed, and he really started playing crisp defense. His bat awoke.
He woke up, and we tied the game 1-1. And what happens? Ninth inning. The guy we thought we were going to see the previous night, Kenley Jansen, comes on and completely implodes. Gives up six runs. He lasts two-thirds of the ninth. He does not do his job. Jake Eater comes on to try and clean things up. We get two more off of him. Next thing you know, we got a 9-1 win, and you're watching the Angels' bullpen two nights in a row just implode before your eyes. Jose Suriano, we couldn't solve him. Six innings, six hits, one walk, five Ks. He matched Scooble for six.
In Kenley Jansen's defense, which I know the way he pitched is somewhat indefensible, given that he hadn't pitched in a week, which is somewhat
they were talking about that. Yeah.
And then I want to come back to this. Riley Green did something that had never been done.
Yeah.
He hit two home runs.
Two home runs in the same inning.
Well, no, no, that's been done, but not in the ninth
inning. Ninth inning, okay, in the ninth inning, sorry,
so
yeah.
Green was the first one to get to him, solo home run.
Yep.
Then Keith came up. Also, Keith is starting to get hot again, which is awesome. He hasn't been hot since last year. So Green homered to right, Keith homered to left center. Then our guy, Javier.
Yes.
We can call him whatever you want to, last name. I like Baez, but...
not doing Baez. Javier Baez.
He almost left.
I will
so
give
here's
Javier.
The crazy thing is, three straight homers, but they all went to different areas of the park.
Yeah.
And then the wheels fell off. Eater had a wild pitch. Carpenter scored on that. McKinstry moved to third. There was another wild pitch from Eater. And then Green homers again, and that was the Tigers' outcome on Friday night's game, which
just
was exceptional.
Exceptional. These guys were going deep all series long. Yeah. We saw home runs from, you know who else got healthy? Cole Keith got healthy in this series. Cole Keith has had three home runs in five games.
You weren't listening to me because I just said, you know who got healthy was Cole Keith.
I think you broke up.
Oh, sorry.
It broke out for a second. No, it's not. It was the software. I was like, what did he just say? You were talking about Cole Keith.
Okay.
At any rate.
Let's get to Saturday quick.
Saturday, I did not watch this game.
You missed nothing.
I had family stuff. Flaherty looks like he had another hard luck game. Went five and two thirds, eight hits, five runs. I remember kind of looking in a couple times. I'm like, oh, boy. He K'd eight guys. They just hit him. So I don't know. You know, again, we look at this. I'm looking at his hard hit, his contact. He got smoked. They hit him hard all game long.
That's my concern right now.
He's a little hittable. So
yeah.
We'll keep an eye on him. We may be flagging Flaherty for the time being going forward and just see how he does. I'm not like ready to, you know.
No. Throw the baby out with the bathwater, whatever expression you want to use.
No.
That being said, we alluded to it, not only this pod, we alluded to it last pod. He's getting, when he does make mistakes, he's getting punished.
Yeah. He is. We end up losing the game 5-2. Kyle Hendricks, starting pitcher for the Angels. You know how bad the Angels are in their pitching department right now? They have Kyle Hendricks starting for them. The professor. 7.2 innings he went, four hits and a run. Three strikeouts. Kyle Hendricks, he should not be going 7.2 against a team. We just had an off day. We had a bad day. Didn't work out.
Salad. His fastball was,
I can't imagine,
84 to 85 miles an hour. So I do want to give a tip of the cap. You and I both I still live in Chicago. You've spent numerous years here. Kyle Hendricks is a class human being. He's a great professional. If we had to lose to anybody in the Angels starting rotation bullpen, let's
total
give a
appreciation
tip of the cap
for
to
Kyle
the guy.
Hendricks.
And he's from that area. He went east.
Yeah.
I think he played baseball at Dartmouth. And then, you know, he spent years upon years with the Cubs. And so he had a lot of friends and family.
Gave us a lot of great years in Chicago. Yep.
And if we had to lose one, at least we lost to, you know, what I consider one of the game's consummate, you know, professionals and gentlemen. That's all.
So let's get to the fourth game. This is like a marathon getting through these games this way, but I want to talk about game four here because I watched most of this one today. It's still in the ninth. It's still going. It's 13-1 Tigers right now. Kerry Carpenter's having a monster game. He had a double that bounced out of a guy's glove, came back into play. They had to review it for one reason or the other. I couldn't figure that off. I don't know if they thought it might have hit the top of the wall or what. But it was almost a home run. And then he crushed a ball to dead center. I mean, he smoked a home run ball to dead center. And then you've got the guys in the middle, Riley, McKinstry, Torres. They're not doing much today, but Torque, Colt, and Javier and Trey are going off. Trey Sweeney's 4-for-5 today. Javier, 2-for-4. Colt Keith, 2-for-3. Colt Keith's getting healthy. It's a slow climb back, but he's getting healthy. I would love to see him climb back in this. Nito is playing catcher today, and he's 2-for-5. I would rather see Trey in the 9 spot maybe and Nito at the 8, but I'm not going to get too picky. We're up 13-1. We're killing him. Reese Olson, another brilliant outing. 5.2 innings, 3 hits, 3 walks. Kind of uncharacteristic for him. 8 Ks today. And he's been hot lately. What's that?
Did you watch the first inning?
The only inning I missed was his first inning.
Okay. He worked his way, I alluded to it earlier, but he worked his way out of a bases loaded jam where he hit the man barely to get him on first.
Gotcha.
And that's where his walks came from, the two of the other ones. And his changeup just was not working. He got out of it with a strikeout on the changeup and then just pounded the changeup going forward. And the Tigers are on pace to have everybody but Flaherty has a secondary pitch that is now becoming their primary pitch that is not a four-seamer or a true fastball in any way, shape, or form. And it's just outstanding to see that when his changeup is rolling, it's basically unhittable. If I can give one kudo to an Angel player who is a guy that we'd want.
Yeah, I know who you're going to say, too. I know who you're going to say.
Zach Neto, their starting shortstop.
It's pronounced Neto. They actually did a thing on the broadcast today between Thomas Neto and Zach Neto. It was funny. Anyhow.
There was an old hip-hop song called I'm the Neto,
okay.
Which is why. Well, so anyway, he's the one guy in their lineup that I would want no matter what.
Yeah, he's
outside
awesome.
Of that, there's not a lot of.
Neto is a bag of hustle, and he is all over the diamond on defense. He's hitting, he's batting almost 300. Do you know that guy? He was drafted very much like Nick Kurtz for the A's. He was drafted, spent a minimal amount of time in the minor leagues, and came right up to the majors and started producing. I think he might have had a little injury thing in there last year for a little bit. But when he got back up there, when he was back up at the major, he was playing lights out last year, showed he belonged. This year, he's just been on fire. And he's been the only real pest on this whole team. Logan Ohapi, the catcher's pretty good too. And he's had a decent series against us. Other than that, the rest of these guys, not great. Their pitching is one of the worst in the American leagues right now.
It's their 15th out of 15 teams.
Yeah. They're at the bottom. I mean, and they're rolling guys like Tuki Toussaint out there and Jose Fermin. And you got a lot of guys you've seen, like Kyle Hendricks. I mean, some of these guys, just not great. Anyhow, Hanafy gave up another run today. He gave up some runs in the Astros series. I'm not going crazy. It's fine. We're fine. Bo Brisky had a great outing today. 2 Ks, cleaned up, had a whole inning, beautiful ball. Vest had a nice inning today. 2 strikeouts. You're giving me the let's move along. You want to get out of this. You're done with the Angels. Okay. All
Tigers
right.
just won 13-1. It's a final. It's a wrap.
It's over. All right.
All right. So news and notes. Kenta Maeda is a Tiger no longer.
Kenta, I feel like we need to play taps for Kenta here.
Well,
should we queue up the taps?
We probably do.
He's
need to
done.
Queue up taps.
And there's lost. Another guy who I'm a little more brokenhearted about is no longer
is
a
that
Tiger.
Andrew Chafin?
Yeah.
Except for they brought up Tyler Owens.
Yeah.
Who, if I had to picture Jesus Christ playing baseball, it would be Tyler Owens. So therefore, I think this works. I don't know. I can't explain it. I love Chafin.
It's a spirit animal thing. He wasn't going to fit with us. He wasn't going to take anybody's spot that's currently in the pen. And we have younger guys that we need to be thrown up there and given a chance to. So that's kind of why Maeda got designated for assignment. And I think for Chafin, I think he opted for this, right? Wasn't it kind of like, I want to get released so I can go play?
He had a May 1st option that he wasn't brought up that.
Yeah,
they had no choice but to do that.
So
if I can, we talked about that in news and notes. Just quick recap from my standpoint: Jace Young's playing great at third base, but he's got to start hitting. Otherwise, he's going to be spending more time down in Toledo with the Mudhens. Andy Ibañez, I can't figure it out, but he is going to stick around all year. It makes no sense because he can only hit one side of the pitching staff, yet he is hanging around.
Yeah,
and a guy that I really
liked
against
and
that was
side,
really,
yeah.
really optimistic about was Justin Henry Molloy, J-Hen, and I think he might need a little more seasoning down in Toledo as well. It's good to see Colt Keith back on track, and then Javier Baez is not only playing great center field, but he's batting over 300. He's actually drawing walks.
I'll take Javier.
I have
Javi
one
can stay on the
metric
bus.
To the Tigers are top three in ERA, WHIP in the American League. So in all statistical metrics, their pitching staff is top three. As far as hitting, they're good. They're in the upper half of everything. Yeah. There was one that jumped out today, though, that I thought was really unique. They are close to the bottom of the American League in stolen bases. They're 14 out of 15. And it's interesting because they have team speed and they run so well first to third. Sure. But it seems that they're a little reluctant to, you know, steal bags when, you know, it's an unnecessary risk, which is...
They don't swipe a lot of bags.
Probably smart managing, you know?
They do a lot of good base running. Uh-huh. You know, the playing on the edges stuff, the first to third, but they don't swipe a lot of bags. I don't know if that's a strategy or they just don't have guys that want to take a bag. I don't know.
That's got to be something from the Hinch's office, I'm guessing, you know. Anyhow, I did learn something today. Would you like to hear that before we...
Please do, yes. I've got one other little tidbit and then go.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's not that significant.
No, but, fire away.
Did you see Hoosier Tiger today on the broadcast?
No.
Awesome. Great. Who was the first major league player that was drafted as a junior in high school?
I saw this. Bondi.
I know. Jeremy Bonderman.
Jeremy Bonderman. I saw that.
When they showed it, I was like,
isn't it?
Okay, it's not Verlander because he didn't really come to until he was in college. And I'm like, was it Bonderman? And sure enough, it was Bondi. And it was great because Benetti knew it. And Danielle knew it. She got it. Danielle Bruce got it. And Dirks even played.
Dirks, I think Dirks almost played with him at one point.
No, Dirks did play with him. He did.
Did he play with him?
Yeah.
He didn't even know that. That's great.
And it was so great.
That's fabulous.
Dirks didn't get it. So Dirks is, he's comedic gold with Benetti.
I love Peaches. They're so good. It's such a great combo there. I'll take Peaches any day, but Dirks and Benetti, when I saw they were on the West Coast Swing, I was like, oh, yes.
This is great.
This is great. What about injury stuff? Were you going to give us injury stuff? Because there's some important stuff coming around.
No, I kind of wanted you to handle that.
I'll take it.
That was in our crib sheet, so go.
A couple odd things that I saw here. One, Manuel Margot has been playing in AAA on his rehab assignment, but he's gone 5 games now. So it's like he's been on a rehab for 5 games at AAA Toledo. I kind of feel like they don't know what to do with him at this point. Usually a guy doesn't do a 5-game rehab stint. I could see them kind of hanging him around down there. They probably are like, who do we send down for Marco right now? Never know. Maybe that's not the case, but it looks weird. So he'll be back theoretically any day now. Veerling has been assigned to AAA Toledo. And he had his first rehab game today. He walked twice and struck out. He's playing DH for a few games while he completes the whole throwing progression that he's doing. But when he comes back, they're really making a big deal out of this. He should be back anytime now. I'm guessing in the next week, he'll be back up with the major league team if all goes well. Jake Rogers is expected to come back this month. So you've got your other catcher coming. What happens to Nito when that happens?
Can we talk about that?
I don't know.
I don't know that Jake Rogers has a secure spot anymore.
You don't think so? Really? You think Neil's played his way into the team?
Catching, excuse me.
That's going to be a tough one. We lost Chafin. Now we're losing Jake Rogers. This is
I know. We might be a beardless squad.
This could be an interesting last beard animals leaving the building.
I do have a foreshadow for you.
Yeah, okay.
Did you see who played at third today?
I did see that, McKinstry over at third base.
I think Jace is going down, and they're going to have to bring Margot up and do something with him.
I think they're going to have to do something. I think it's going to be Jace and Malloy going down and Veerling and Margot coming up. But you've also got Rogers. You got Alex Cobb, who's due back in May. You're going to get Sawyer Gypsum Long back end of May, early June, although I don't know if he'll start off in the minors. Who knows what happens there? Parker Meadows is possible to come back by the end of this month, which is super exciting. But I don't do what are we sending down then?
These are good problems to have. We got a lot of guys.
Alex Lang is due back end of May, early June. So we got a lot of guys coming up, a lot of talent coming up, a lot of guys we wanted to see come back, but I don't know who we send down for some of these guys.
Yeah.
So we could see some trades, we could see some movement.
I like movement.
We could see some things happening. We'll have a lot to talk about, Bill.
I mean, nobody would keep 3 catchers, would they?
Oh, if you got a mustache like that, you might. You might.
What's up ahead is the Rockies.
Yep.
Who are the worst team in baseball, which...
Okay.
It's shocking because it's not like they don't spend money. It's just when they spend money, it does not work out.
Yeah.
And I just want to give some just numbers on this. So it's a 3-game set starting Tuesday. So I don't know that we do midweek. We'd probably want to do Thursday night, you know, at the soonest.
Thinking but something like that.
But they are 6-28 right now. I get that they play in the toughest division in probably all of sports. That is a 176 winning percentage. They are 17.5 games out of first place.
It's a horror show. I mean, they're this year's White Sox.
By the way, May the 4th be with you.
May the 4th be with you.
All right, that's
it. They're a horror show this year. They're this year's White Sox, and Benetti was saying today that the Tigers game should play real well. At Coors, he's like, big open outfield.
Huge park.
You got the thin air. You got the, you know, we're launching homers left and right. So we'll see what happens. Hopefully, fingers crossed, this isn't one of those things where we go in and totally lay an egg for no good reason, but I don't know.
I don't think this team
will do that. I don't see this being like the Bermuda Triangle.
My question is, who has the longest drive when they golf tomorrow?
I wonder
my
if
money's
these guys
on
golf. You think they're golfers? Think they got a lot of golfers on the squad?
They have to. What else are they going to do?
Well, you do have Jackson Jobe, whose father, Brand Jobe, was a PGA Tour pro.
I know. Yeah, he might win the longest drive, but for some reason I'm going to go Torque.
Okay.
But Torque's still going to like double bogey the hole.
What about Javier? Javier in Colorado.
I don't know, he might do it. Javier in the thin air.
Javier in the thin air. We're ending on that. That's perfect. Everybody have a great week.